In 2015, Trish Johansson began a vet clinic in Siem Reap in Cambodia. She began a rabies eradication program. We spoke about this with her a while ago. And among her clients were Cambodia's remarkable landmine clearing rats. Earlier this month, the most famous of these, Magawa, died peacefully, as far as I can gather, as opposed to in an explosive fashion. He was aged 8, and he had won a gold medal, a PDSA gold medal, sometimes described in the UK as the George Cross for Animals, for a 5-year career in which he sniffed out over 100 explosive devices, including landmines, in Cambodia, and cleared more than 140,000 square metres of land. Trish Johansson spent time with Magawa, with the rats brought to her clinic, and she got to see the rats in operation on landmine fields. She is in New Zealand. Her plans to return to Cambodia on hold, of course, on account of COVID, and she's with me now. Hi, Trish. Welcome back.
Hi, Kim. How are you?
I'm very
well.
Thanks
for having me back.
It's a pleasure. Are you a bit stuck here at the moment? What's the situation?
I was actually looking to go back in January for 2 months, and then the very next day, the MIQ was stopped. So I'm here for now, but you know, I feel so fortunate to be in New Zealand over this time. The thing is, when you travel, you're always missing somebody. You've got the advantage of knowing lots of people in different time zones, but you are always missing someone. So, yeah, that's just all part of it. You know, so my heart's here. My heart's in Cambodia. But I'm here, I think, for the year. It's so hard to say, isn't it? Nobody can make any plans at the moment.
I know. Everybody's in a certain amount of a limbo. It's a question, I suppose, of just giving yourself up to it, isn't it?
Absolutely. And it's crazy that everyone in the whole world has been impacted in some way by this.
Tell me about Magawa, please.
Oh, Magawa was one of my favourites. Along with Frederick, who was an absolute honey. They were both, Magawa was very sweet, very gentle, you know, very easy to do anything with, because obviously, you know, they have to have regular health checks, and the rats, just like any other species, they all have different personalities. And you
do
know,
they
some
really?
Of these things, sorry?
Do they really have different personalities?
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
These are not ordinary rats. These are a particular sort of rat called African large pouched rats. What sort of pouches are they referring to?
In their cheeks, like hamsters.
Ah.
Which is so cute, because I think I mentioned last time, they'll just demolish a whole banana and then they can store them in there as well.
And they were rewarded for their efforts with bananas. Tell me how they sniffed out the landmines, please.
Well, it's quite a long process and intensive training. I'm not actually a formal representative of the Popo, but I have been to Tanzania and seen sort of from birth through. And they've got a strict social, they're left with their mum for a few weeks just to develop naturally, and then they start socialization, and that's just carrying them around, showing them different flowers, putting them on, you know, the top of a car, just getting them used to everything so nothing phases them. And then they start going on to their training, and they find explosive smells, and when they find those, then they get rewarded with a syringe of banana. And then that testing is made harder and harder and harder, and there'll be decoy scents and all sorts of things put in as well, and then they get rewarded when they find the correct scent. So even though Magawa is very, very famous, I think you know, all the rats are amazing. They have to get to a very consistent standard and be able to work well under all conditions to be safe to work. So I think Magaru is very much has been the rat that people think of as a hero rat, but they can all do an amazing job. And the same with all the landmine dogs as well.
How do you, and what are the ethics? You know, there are people who say that animals should not be used for testing anything, whether it be pharmaceuticals or cosmetics. How do you feel about animals being used in this way?
My opinion with animals being used for working, I mean, the same argument is there for horses shouldn't be ridden and so on. I think that
you're quite right in a way. Yeah. I mean, these rats are risking
in the very extreme view.
Yeah.
So my view about that is that the animal must be able to express its normal behavior. And, you know, you'll see this in zoos where animals can't express their normal behavior. And they're just pacing backwards and forwards. And that's an abnormal behavior. You don't see that in the wild. Whereas, you know, with the rat specifically, you know, they actually love their work. You know, they just, I mean, sniffing and running around and so on. You know, that's a rat thing to do. So it's just harnessing their natural behavior. And I think the other responsibility you have when you're using animals for anything is to take care of their health needs, you know, predict any problems, use preventative care, and just do everything you can to take care of the welfare of the animals. And for me personally, if that's happening, then I'm happy.
Do they ever get blown up? I mean, to put it bluntly, never. Do they ever die? Do they not?
No, never, ever. And as far as I know, not one ever. And the same with the landmine dogs, because the rats are so light, they can't trip off the explosives. But what they do is they scratch at the ground and then they turn around in circles to show that they've got it, which is really cute to see because they're so happy they've found it. And then, but the dogs who are much heavier, they're taught to sit back a foot or so and they just point with their nose because they are heavy enough to set off explosives. So they're trained in a different way. And again, you know, when you take the dogs out, they're just dying to work the same way as when, you know, you've got a farmer who is working as sheepdog. The worst thing you could do for that dog is not give them any work to do because they're very, very intelligent and this is what they want to be doing naturally.
And what sort of personality did Magawa have?
I just remember him as being sweet and easy. You know, he just, if he needed to be examined, he was just cuddly and nice and, you know, he didn't need to be, how can I explain it? You know, some animals, cats, dogs, whatever, vets will wrap them up in a towel to be able to examine them. And with Magawa, you could just pick him up and do whatever you needed to do, listen to his heart, you know, check him over. And he was just easy. And
he died at the age of 8. Is 8 quite a ripe age? How long do they normally live for?
Yeah, that's a good age for a rat.
These rats are not the rats that we would normally think of, are they? They're more like, I mean, how big are they?
Oh, they're huge.
Huge.
I mean, huge by, I'm putting my hands out as though you can see.
Yeah.
But I'm talking to a 16-inch through a 16-inch laptop, and their bodies are about the length of my laptop, and then you've got the tails as well.
Grief. I mean,
so
for people who are terrified of rats, that might be a nightmare.
Yeah, but I don't know, when you see them working and you know what they do and they save lives, I've had friends come to Cambodia and I've insisted they go to see the Apopo rats at the Apopo Centre and they've come back with just a different impression. You know, there's a lot of people who are scared of rats and think of them as dirty and gross and so on. But I think the Apopo rats turn a lot of people around.
You call them Apopo rats. Apopo stands for anti-personnel landmine removal, doesn't it?
Yeah, it came originally from Belgium, the Belgium language, I believe.
And so it's not an exact acronym, but that's the general thing. And they're trained in Tanzania, are they not?
Yes. Yeah.
Is that where they come from, Tanzania?
Yes. Yeah, born and bred.
Your rabies work was what we spoke about mainly last time. Do you have an update on that?
Yes. I would love people to check out the website and even consider what they can do to help. I'm very, very conscious of the donors' funding, because I think people like to see the funds put, you know, directly into rabies eradication. So I've been doing a lot of the admin myself. So it's quite a long process. But what I'd like to do is get the charity registered as a New Zealand government approved charity, which
this
would be
is
really great.
That. Or eradicating rabies one village at a time.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. And I think our chances are very good, because we meet so many of the criteria that you need to be approved in this way. So it's a country that's recovering from war, and the project itself supports the economy, alleviates poverty, helps health, and is also an educational project. And you just have to meet one of those. Oh, and it has to be a UN-recognised developing country. And you just have to meet one of those, but Erevat meets all of those criteria.
When you say alleviate poverty, specifically, how does it do that?
If somebody dies of rabies, then that's the loss of that family's income. And I've actually got some figures somewhere that I could always post later if you like, is the cost of rabies worldwide. It's in the billions through loss of work, the expense in trying to treat people, you know, the post-exposure vaccinations, the testing, and so on. But in Cambodia, the really key thing is if someone dies, then how does a family get fed?
Right.
And this is, you know, we've been talking about landmines, but the week that, I believe it was the week that Magawa died, there were three people killed by an anti-tank device, and they were clearing the device the same week that Magawa's death was reported. And again, you know, they now don't have somebody, they don't have a breadwinner.
I wonder why they still have people demining when animals are available.
The animals can only find the explosives. Then you need to have the people to come in, the bomb squad.
Oh, I
they
see.
They come in and they
deactivate
them. So
they were killed when they were defusing the explosive device, having been found already.
Yes. Right. This particular one wasn't found by animals. It was found by people, but they're all deactivated by people. And, of course, I think it's incredibly brave. You know, they know what they're doing. You know, they go out to clear land for other people and they can just get blown up. It's less and less common because of the education, but, you know, it happens. These things happen. But these three guys, you know, they were all married. They had children from 4 months to 8 years old, and now no means of providing food and education for them. And that's
terrible.
The thing in a developing country. You know, people need the money that's coming in daily.
If you were never able to get back to Cambodia, Trish, would your rabies program and indeed your other programs and your vet practice, would they continue?
Yes, they would. Yes, they would. So at the moment, we're not doing vaccine drives and training people, because what I don't want to do is take COVID into rural areas, which is a risk at this point.
Sure.
And the other thing, we don't want to spend donors' money for a a visit out with all the training and everything, and then having to call that off. So what we're focusing on at the moment is getting literature into schools and hospitals, because that in itself is going to save lives. I have representatives in Cambodia. I have people looking after my practice in Cambodia. So, yeah, if I was never able to go back, it would still all happen.
But I bet you will go back, right?
Yes. I will go back. Yeah. Yeah, my heart's there as well as here.
Somebody has texted me to say the African pouched rats are also used to detect diseases in humans.
Yes, tuberculosis. And they're also undergoing research for more diseases. You know, you hear so many stories about, you know, my dog kept on sniffing it apart, you know, on my arm, and it turned out to be cancer. I mean, animals have abilities that we don't have, and it's just a matter of researching them and harnessing them.
Weird, eh? How do they do tuberculosis? The basis of that is that tuberculosis smells particularly?
Oh, I bet it does. Yes, but it's all scent-related.
Very strange. Anyway, I hope you are enjoying your sojourn in New Zealand. As you say, it's one of the better places to be right now.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Good to talk to you again. Trish Johansson, whose hopes to set up Aerovet, eradicating rabies one village at a time, as a charity. And you can find out more about that on our webpage.